Nearly every culture and society has proverbs, and even an atheist can have proverbs. But the book of Proverbs that we have in Scripture is divinely inspired, coming through the hand of Solomon, and we have one of those before us today, taken from the first chapter, the seventh verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One afternoon when I was 12 years old, I was playing with a friend. And we went to a neighborhood a little bit away from where I was used to hanging around. And a boy that he knew, who was about our age, took us into his garage, was showing us something with a car. And I suddenly looked over in the side of the garage, and there was about a 3-foot stack of Playboy magazines sitting right out in the open. I said to this boy, "What is that?" And he said, "Oh, my dad gave me that." I think when I was 12, my dad gave me a Frisbee. That was the first time that I recall thinking to myself, what kind of parent gives their child something that is so contrary to God's will, that contradicts morality so blatantly? I can't believe someone's dad would give them that. Interesting follow-up to the story. I found out years later that that young boy I was talking about in his 30s died of a sexually transmitted disease. The older you get in life, the more you appreciate the foundational instruction of your parents and the early training that you received when you were young. And I often feel sad for those who were not blessed with that background, were not blessed with having that instruction in their home life. Talk to people that work in law enforcement. I have friends here in Mankato, for instance, have told me that oftentimes morally dysfunctional families just show up repeatedly for generations on the police records over and over and over again. They keep finding themselves going back to the same family names generation after generation in a community. As college students, you are in kind of a unique stage of life in the sense that you have just come out of living under the influence of your parents. You're now somewhat on your own, and you're not yet to the stage, most of you, of becoming parents, and yet you're kind of in this middle ground between those two situations. And the Lord may someday give you the blessings of and the joy of being a parent. It's quite a wonderful thing, and at the same time, full of a lot of responsibility. And the Lord would have you, should that be your lot in life, to not only observe the spiritual wisdom passed on to you from your parents, but then also to imitate that as you go forward in your adult life. People who play baseball, softball, basketball, different sports, musicians, this is true of as well, even accountants, the things that they learned in their earliest, most fundamental lessons about whatever it is that they're approaching, oftentimes everything else they do or learn from that point on builds on that foundation. And so often that is true for us when it comes to our childhoods, especially in the realm of our spiritual lives. What you learn in your childhood is so often foundational to everything else that will come and be built upon that. And for most people, this delicate transfer of knowledge comes from their parents. Our text says it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then it instructs us to listen to our parents and to follow them when our believing parents have instructed us. And it says, if you do this, they will be the knowledge that you gain, the wisdom that you gain. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. This is God's heavenly divine idea of what bling should be. Notice that God always attaches an earthly blessing and benefit to following the admonitions of our parents. We often talk about the two tables of the law and how the commandments, those Ten Commandments, can be divided so easily into two sections. The first three deal with our relationship to God, and the next seven deal with our relationships to one another. And at the same time, that fourth commandment that deals with parent to child, child to parent, that relationship is on the top of that second portion and stands so closely next to those first three that has to do with our relationship to God. This is such a crucial and important commandment from God. And this relationship is one that needs to be protected and understood rightly according to His will and His word. When writing his commentary on the commandments in the Large Catechism, Dr. Luther expounded on the fourth commandment almost twice as long as any of the other commandments. He understood, too, just how significant and important this special role is in an individual's life. God has designed a particular, let's call it gravitas, or a moral and spiritual weight that has been placed into the role of a mother and father when it comes to teaching their children. Back in 1955, Hollywood came out with a movie called Rebel Without a Cause, starring James Dean and Natalie Wood. And their great rebellion, breaking curfew, their great rebellion in 1955 almost seems mild by today's standards. But it seemed to open the door and pour gas on this idea in the youth culture that you should not really listen to your parents because they don't know what they're talking about. They really don't understand what's important in life. And it began kind of a glorification of adolescent rebellion. And as I've gone through life and observed, there are many people that love to live in what I would call a state of suspended adolescence. And Jerry Seinfeld made a living off of that, trying to demonstrate suspended adolescence, and the show Friends and others. Our culture tends to glorify this idea that you can just stay 14 the rest of your life. In the text before us, God clearly addresses this bent in us toward rebellion that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to our first parents in this world. And their heavenly Father had given them His word and directives, but they thought it would be so much better and smarter of them to disobey and to rebel. And right away in the next chapter, we see the influence of that decision likewise on their family and the relationship of their boys together. We are tempted, as our text says before us, to forsake the instruction of our believing parents. To forsake in the Hebrew language here is a word that means to throw something away, to scatter it away like garbage. In the New Testament, St. Paul even warns Timothy in his instruction to the New Testament Christians to teach them about the importance of making sure their children listen to their parents, because he predicts this will be a problem in the church when there is such disobedience coming. Solomon says it before us, fools despise wisdom. There is a spiritual arrogance to listen to what our believing parents tell us and then say, oh, that's ridiculous. They don't have a clue. I know better. And that seed of rebellion is inside of every one of us and stays living inside of us throughout our lives. So the indispensable ingredient to having real knowledge and wisdom in this world is to have a relationship with the triune God through faith in our Redeemer. This opening verse that we have of our text today is really kind of a theme to the entire book of Proverbs, and it really should be also the theme for our lives. It really comes down to the proper understanding of God's law and God's gospel. These two essential truths are foundational to our entire life. The wisdom that parents are to teach their children is not simply to do the right thing, in other words, the law, but to also demonstrate to them and show them and point out to them how often not only they, but the parent themselves does not do the right thing, even though we all know what it is, and God's commandments are very clear. To show the moral condition of depravity, of sinfulness, that covers our souls and has infected us to our very core. So that then when we come along with parental instruction and teach our children about why it was so necessary for the Son of God Himself to enter our world in His holiness and perfection and to lay His life on the altar of sacrifice for our sins so that we could be completely forgiven before God as we now stand. And that the perfect holy record that none of us can live out in our day-to-day lives, certainly not from even our little infancy and childhood, all of that rebellion in us, Christ lived perfectly according to God's commands and now gives you that righteousness in the waters of your baptism and through the gift of faith. The role of the parent is not simply to teach children right from wrong, but also to teach the answer to our wrong, and that is our Savior and the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the hope of heaven that He holds out to us. Back in the 1800s, there was a German theologian by the name of Otto Funk. What a great name. Yo, Funk, what up? Otto Funk. And when he was about 17, he went away to college, and he was confronted head-on with rationalism. And so many of the students in the dormitory with him, likewise, he said, were beginning to defect from the Christian faith and throw all of this aside. And his professors, likewise, were challenging his faith and basically telling him to throw all of this away. And he was about ready to do that, he said, during his first year of college. But then he writes this: "It was something unthinkable to me that my mother had made a mistake." His love for his mother, her love for him, the Christian instruction that he had received from her at her feet, won out and hung in there, and he ended up dedicating his life to the proclamation of the gospel. May God give you and me the wisdom to wear the heavenly jewelry of spiritual knowledge that He has placed on us and adorned us with through the instruction of our believing parents. And may He also give you the wisdom someday to drape these same beautiful gems on your children. Amen.